Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live. Joining me today, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and your phone call. We're glad you're with us here today. Come join us. It's a great day for New Life.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here joining me. I'm at WQME, the studio here in Anderson, Indiana. And joining me in the studio there in Laguna Beach, Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Sherry Denham.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, everybody.
How are you beautiful people doing?
We are good.
We are good.
Whoever those are.
John is a beautiful person. I would say that. Really, I told him my day got better when he walked into the room today.
Oh, that's very nice.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Now, John, I saw Henry and Dave at the AACC, American Association of Christian Counselors, the All Right Christian Counseling Association. But I missed you, and I understand you were there also.
Yeah, I think you and I missed by maybe 12 hours. I was there. I did a plenary talk on the clinical necessity of friendship, and I did another training on how counselors can learn to coach and the skill sets they need for coaching. And I heard that you did a great job, Steve, by the way.
You know what? I did, I think, one of the most mediocre jobs.
No.
First of all, I was at this, I spoke at the luncheon, and the podium was approximately 20 yards from the first table. You know how you go someplace and they do that to you where you have no connection? It was almost like me being in a different auditorium.
I spoke the next day in the same room, in the same podium, in the same distance.
Wasn't that frustrating?
So it's like you guys could have thrown a football to the person in the front row.
Here's what I did. I started off with a little music stand. I jumped off the podium. I said, I don't feel connected to you guys. There were like 300 people having lunch. And I said, I'm not going to be this disconnected. Let me be on the floor just talking to the
That's
people.
That's awesome.
And then I said, but first, those of you in the back, because I'm not 6'4", I'm 6'3". I said, raise your hand if you can't see me. And they went, we can't see you. So I said, so I've got to go back to that yardage. And they went, yeah. So I ended up back there. I hated it.
Oh, it's a bummer.
But we love AACC. It's a great association. Yep. It's the number one Christian counselors and therapist association in the world. And we're very, very involved in it.
Hey, I want to tell you, I want to give you a verse out of the New Living Translation that I shared with everybody, which is this is the anti-codependency verse of Scripture. And you'll only find it translated this way in the New Living Translation. Proverbs 10:10. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that good?
It's very good.
So many times we're enabling, we're winking at the trouble, but how many times do you stop and say, it's the bold reproof that's going to promote the peace? It's not keeping peace, it's making peace. We talk about it all the time. But I just love that verse and an encouragement to anybody that's listening that maybe the way you create the peace in your relationship is you have to have that confrontation. You have to have that tough, tough confrontation about the realities rather than enabling evil.
When people do a 180 in life, Steve, it's never because of a gesture or a wink. It's because of something bold.
Amen. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, or you can go to newlife.com. We really do want to help you. That's what in the world we are here for. And we love getting to see people go from despair to hope, That is what it's all about. So please let us help you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Also, we need your help. We need your support. If God's leading you, hope you'll support us. We'll be back.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham. They're in Laguna Beach at our studio there. I'm in Anderson, Indiana. WQME is the station. And we are glad that you're with us today. All right, let's talk with Kathy from Denver, Colorado. She watches on the NRB Network. Hi there.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help?
My question is, I have a 36-year-old daughter who has been diagnosed as bipolar. She has four boys, an alcoholic husband, and this has been going on for 20 years. My husband and I have been supporting the family for 20 years. She has not been able to hold a job, but she becomes rageful. And I need to know how to relate to her without being angry.
Hmm. Well, John, Sherry, what do you think?
Well, is it when she gets rageful, do you feel angry almost like as a way of trying to protect yourself and kind of getting bigger in the room so that you don't get hurt?
No.
Okay.
I have discovered that I have some undealt with emotions of my own towards her over the years because she won't get help. She has been on medication, gone off of medication. She blames everybody else for her problem and refuses to listen. If I try to interject how to perhaps go about treating the children a little bit better, she gets rageful at me. I then ask her, I either get out of her presence or ask her to leave mine.
So anger, I often look at, is one of three things. It's hurt, fear, or sadness. So it sounds like it's a lot of fear. Fear and how the kids are being taken care of?
Yes. That and she does hurt people. She has put her husband in jail. She's bit him. So, yes.
Wow.
And there is sadness.
Yeah.
I have a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how much time have you spent really talking about that sadness and the fear?
A lot with friends.
Okay. Do you feel hopeless?
At
powerless?
Time, I believe the Lord can do miracles. I believe that. But yes, at times I do feel hopeless.
Yeah, and kind of powerless. It feels that way when we have a loved one that is not in control of themselves, much less their family.
Yes.
Yeah, Kathy, to what extent are you supporting the family financially?
To the point where at times I go with little food.
So,
it'll be food. It will be paying bills, helping my son-in-law get the car fixed. Right now, they don't have a vehicle, so we're fixing both vehicles so that he can get back and forth to work. They run out of food stamps early, so then we end up buying the food. And these are four, three of them are teenage boys, and one is 8 and a half. So this will, they eat. I prepare a lot of the food here and then bring it to them.
So your daughter and the husband are neither one contributing anything to the money?
My son-in-law is. My son-in-law works, but it's not enough to pay housing and all the bills that it takes to take care of a family that size.
Okay. And does he feel as powerless around your daughter as you do? But he's also an alcoholic.
He will do anything in order not to confront, and therefore he drinks.
Okay, so he's a functioning alcoholic.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so tell us what you want us to help you with.
How to relate to her without getting to the point where she is in my face screaming at me, and then we can't talk, and then when we do talk, everything is swept under the rug like nothing's happened because she won't deal with anything.
Okay. Well, basically, you said she's got a bipolar diagnosis and she doesn't take her meds, right?
Correct.
Well, you're dealing with someone who can't do what you're asking unless they take their meds and get treatment. It'd be like saying, I'd like to talk to someone who is blind, but they don't get the surgery to get the eyes, and I want them to see the rainbow. So your daughter has neurological breakdowns in her head that keep her from hearing reality, hearing love, hearing someone else's voice. A lot of times they're okay when someone never confronts them, but if someone disagrees, they go into a rage.
Oh, yes.
So you have to set some ground rules. Ground rules.
I've done that for myself.
Sorry?
I don't know what to do about the boys.
Well, let's solve you first, because you called about you. All right?
Okay.
And you want to know how to have the conversation. And the conversation goes like this. Sally, I love you, but I can't talk to you about serious matters until you're taking your pills. And then she screams and yells, and you say, that's kind of what I meant. I'm going to hang up or leave now. But anytime you'd like a better relationship, take your pills, and I would love to be a great mom to you. And you do that like, I don't know, 20 or 30 times. This is actually what it takes.
So, question, John, as you were talking about that, so let's say they're financially supporting this family, and let's say her daughter, Sally, doesn't respond to her.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any point that Kathy can say, you know, after she's tried that for a month, 6 weeks, if she's still not complying to medication, say, I will financially support you if you take your medication?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, you're right, Sherry. Kathy, we're talking about a hostage situation. Sherry brought a really mm-hmm. good point. There's sometimes an irresponsible person will hold their children hostage so that the person, like a grandmother or a grandfather, knows that the kids are going to be jeopardized if, you know, something bad happens. And so I think that would be a conversation to have with your son-in-law and say, we're going to make sure the money goes to you from now on. Maybe
that's what I did.
Okay.
I did that yesterday.
Route the money to him and just tell your daughter, until you can be nice and take your pills and be a kind person, it's all going to your husband. And then you have protected your grandkids as much as possible. And you've also given your daughter an opening to a better relationship. But you know, when Steve started the show off with that Proverbs chapter 10, verses 10, I was thinking about that with you, Kathy. I thought, now we can wink at your daughter and say, oh, she's just having a bad mood, or we can do a reproof, which is not mean. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to say,
right,
I can't talk to you when your brain doesn't work. Please take some pills, and I would love to have a talk. Now, underlying this is the Bible's teaching about attachment. Your daughter still needs a mom. Daughter still wants and needs you at some level. And my hunch is that you are so available and so there for her that she has contempt for you instead.
Oh, yes, she does.
Well, let's solve that by you saying, I just don't hang around people that are really mean anymore. And that natural, God-given desire of a young woman for her mom can kick in, and then that loneliness and need can help her want to take some pills and talk to her mom. Mm-hmm. We wrote a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation that you've been avoiding, and we'll send you a copy of that.
Well, you know, I think, John, just to sum up, it is tough, but I think this mom has to get tougher.
Mm-hmm.
If there is any hope for change.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is the daughter may not respond in the way that we hope. And that's just, you know, it may not happen. And
I know, but I don't.
You're doing the best you can.
Yeah, but let's start off more hopeful than that, Kathy. Steve and Sharon have seen many cases where this works. So don't think, okay, this is a long shot. Think, really, miracles can happen.
Well, yeah. And two, the relationship is a powerful bargaining chip. And I don't mean that in a way of, you're holding someone hostage. But in my field of work, it doesn't matter what area of mental illness somebody is struggling with, or, you know, if it's bipolar, relationships matter huge mm-hmm. to them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody who's a sociopath, we might be talking a little bit different, but it doesn't matter.
Sociopaths need relationships.
To
heal.
Okay, yes, yes.
They're treatable.
Really?
They are treatable.
Okay.
It's a misnomer to say they can't be healed. I've seen them healed.
Wow. I need to talk to
you. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But they can be healed. So all you sociopaths out there, you can be healed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know I've worked with schizophrenia and some complex issues, and I'm telling you, their desire to connect is as genuine as anyone else's.
Because God made us attachment beings.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. So it really does matter.
She's right.
All right. I'm really glad that Kathy called. 1-800-229-3000. To join us on the program. I just read a statistic that by 2030, over half of us will be obese if we don't do something different. And we're trying to do something different here. We're doing a weight loss weekend in November, and we would sure love for you to come and join us.
Is that why you're not serving lava cake at the studio?
That is exactly right.
I wonder why there wasn't a big piece of it here today.
Here's what Jason said. He said, for the first time in my life, I told things in my life to a group of men that I never told anyone. For the first time in my life, I don't feel ashamed of who I am. I feel that I've been liberated. I feel like God loved me and accepts me for who I am and who I could be. I don't feel like a failure. I came here to lose weight, and that's what I did. I've begun to release the emotional pain. So now I don't need food to make me feel good. I already feel great. The key for me was not finding a solution to a weight program or a weight problem, but expressing the emotional pain that I have suppressed so deeply in my heart and soul for years.
Mm.
Now, you're not going to find that in a diet book. There's no open up the diet book and find a way to express that emotional pain that's leading to the eating. But we can help you with it. You call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or newlife.com, and we would love to see you there. We want to help you with your problems.
So Steve, you know why the New Life Weekend works is Jesus talked in Matthew 7 about how a good tree makes good fruit and a bad tree makes bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And the weekend gets to the tree. It deals with the tree. The weight is the fruit. It's a symptom.
That's right. That is so true. Louise from Savannah, Tennessee. WDNX is the station. Hello, Louise. How are you? Hi.
Hi. I am calling in regards to my son. I have three adult children, and that has been a challenge for me, working with the adult children. Right now, the 26-year-old has just revealed to us that we felt like it was a breakthrough because he talked to us that he had been on hydrocodone for several years. He's always had a lot of anxiety. Been through a difficult divorce. Mm. Been about a year and a half. Worked out of state for a while. Came back home after the divorce, just having to start over. So he is home with
mm-hmm.
us. He is working.
All right.
And
why did he tell you that he's on drugs? Well, how did that happen? That he said, "Hey, I'm struggling here with this drug problem."
Actually, he came in from that work from work that day. As a mother, you know when things aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
You may not know exactly what's wrong, but you know when they're not right.
Okay.
And so I asked him to come in and let's talk. And he told me that he had just talked to his boss that morning. He said, I really was going to talk to you and Dad about it. I'm not sure why now, except you just get to a point in your life, I think you want some help. You want to change things, and I hope that's what it is with him. He's about to change jobs, and with that, he will have to do regular drug testing. So this was a month and a half ago when we felt like the breakthrough came. But I'm afraid he can't do it on his own and stay complete. He started tapering off with the drugs. He seems like he's back to himself, but the anxiety is still there. Mm-hmm. The problem that it felt like he was self-medicating is after watching him grow up all these years and seeing why did he take it in the first place?
Have you suggested that he get any help for that?
Yes, but he doesn't have insurance, so that's a problem. Doesn't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Suggested a lot of things, but I can't.
Hold on. We'll talk to you after this.
I did come into the weekend with an expectation to sort out probably something that couldn't be fixed.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., July 20th to the 22nd.
There is a third person in our marriage, and it's not Jesus. It's a voice that is harsh, and it's put a wall between us.
Join Steve Arterburn.
I'm going to be talking about 7 different secrets from the Mediterranean. You do these, and they lead you to a life of passion and meaning and romance and deep, intimate connection.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We're going to be talking about the emotional, sexual, and relational journey that all couples go on over the course of a lifetime together.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
I really feel like we have somewhere to go and a future, and we have hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back, and we've got Louise on the phone, 26-year-old son. He's back after a divorce using hydrocodone and gotten himself off of it, it sounds like, but the anxiety's still there. My question, has he gotten any help for that anxiety? Doesn't have insurance. So, Louise, what resources are available for him to get help with that underlying basic problem that needs to be dealt with, that anxiety?
Now, that's part of, I guess, a big part of the question, the resources.
Yeah. How did he afford the medication?
I don't know.
Well, there's money there. I mean, it's not cheap, right, if he doesn't have medical. And so that may be a little bit of a blocking belief for him, that he doesn't have the resources to get help. I don't know what's happening. But for someone like your son, he really can't afford not to get some treatment, not to get some help. The medication, you're absolutely right, is just masking the issue, which is the anxiety.
Yeah,
and
right.
And it,
when the breakthrough, as I call, came about, he actually signed into a rehab center, but it was a sign up over the phone, and he's still waiting to get in. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, after it didn't happen when he was ready, when he couldn't get in, you know, then he said, well, it's for public image and this and that, you know, I'm not going to, probably won't go that route.
Yeah, meaning I don't want anyone to know I have a problem, much less myself.
Right, and he really doesn't want us to share it with family members or whatever. So that, I guess, help for me is also how to handle it. But where do I draw the line? How much can I influence him or help him?
Is he living with you?
He does.
And he's financially dependent on you?
No.
Is he independent? Is he, if he's living with you, he's dependent on you?
Yes, to some degree.
Unless he's paying you a bunch of money for rent and paying for his own
not
food.
A lot. No.
Yeah, so he's okay. Let's get to reality here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this man who's pushing 30?
Sound like I might be an enabler.
Well, I didn't want to go there that fast, Louise.
It does happen from time to time.
From time to time,
yeah.
You have a man who's pushing 30, and he lives with his mom, and he has an addiction he doesn't want to look at and doesn't want anybody to know about, and doesn't want to get help. And he's a nice guy, but that's reality. Is that fair enough to say?
I'll agree
closely. Boy, I hear the cheerleader in your voice. Well, basically the research and the statistics say that unless something changes, you can be calling us 10 years from now and with the same conversation, except that he's pushing 40.
Mm.
We don't want that, right?
No, we don't.
Right. So there needs to be a structure set up. I like where Sherry was going with the suggestions is if there's no money, then what you do is you create something out of the available resources. There's Celebrate Recovery for the Christians that want to get help. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's all kinds of 12 steps. They're all online. They're in every town in the United States just about. And if I were your son and I wanted to really get well, I would say, I don't have any money, but until I get in that rehab place on the waiting list, I'm going to go to 3 or 4 groups every day after work and before work because I want to be clean and sober. I'm going to go to the county psychiatrist and get some medication to get me off the Vicodin and the hydrocortisone, the same thing as Vicodin. I'm going to get in a support group so that I learn how other people can connect with me. I would work with my mom on helping me construct a support system since I don't have one.
What she can do is say, we're going to Celebrate Recovery, and I'm going to go to the codependency
The Moms of Vicodin Addicts group.
And you're
right.
Going to go to the addiction
which
group.
Is in another Sunday school room. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, Louise. None of this is going to work if your son sort of, let me act like it doesn't happen and I can power through it and don't tell anybody. So I think what you have to say is, I love you and you can stay here until you have another break and another use. And I would predict that within 6 months he'll probably start using again if he doesn't get any help. And then you have to say, now either you get help or I have to leave. You have to leave and you have to move out. In other words, there have to be some teeth to your love as a mom so that he has to face reality. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So okay. What do you think?
I would like some information on the Celebrate Recovery for sure.
Okay.
And I will try to brave up and talk about the. We do have, I think, local... with the AA, is that?
I was going to add one more to that group. It's called NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
That's probably better.
Because there's going to be other people, and I would offer to go with him if he wants you to in the first meeting, or he can go by himself. But there's going to be other people there that have used pain medications that have been addicted, just like him. So there's going to be safety for him to bring his story and to begin to talk about it.
But sooner or later, Louise, as God has created a process, it's going to be your son's path.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to walk the path. He's going to have to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. You can hold his hand only so long. And then he's got to say, I want to live in light and the pain that that causes and the good fruit, or I don't want the light.
Yeah.
But you lead him to the path.
All right. I'm really glad that you called. I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, and it's all about stubborn resistance and arrogant entitlement, things that addicts have, things that so many people have, that prevent them from getting the help that they need to get. And then we're going to get that to you.
Oh, I thought you were getting personal with me and Sherry.
Nah, not yet.
Not yet?
1-800-229-3000. Here for another hour and a half to take your phone calls with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, Steve Arterburn. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back, and we need your support here during this month. If you've never been a member of Club New Life, it's a great, great group of people that support us with a little bit every month, some a lot every month, but they're regular givers, and it makes all the difference in the world. So please, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. If you could help us, if you could be a supporter, become part of the giving New Life family. All right, let's go to Rick from El Paso, Texas. Rick listens to us on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Rick. How are you there?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life?
I can't get physical with my current wife. Let me give you a real fast, quick rundown. I was married about 28 years. My first wife and I didn't do a whole lot of physical relations. There was even one time I think we, in that 28th time, I might have went about just under 11 months without any kind of physical contact. I don't do the porn thing. I'm not really into all of that stuff. I was divorced for probably about 2 years, and now I'm with my current wife for about 3 years. And before we actually got married, we did get physical probably a month after our relationships, and then we did it on a pretty regular basis. And then finally, I just said, no, I don't think we should base our relationship on this. Let's step back. Let's not have no more relationship for a while. Let's get married. Let's do what we need to. And, in fact, we even moved to El Paso away from all the other family because between her and I, we have 9 kids. Our oldest is 33. The youngest is 21. We wanted to be able to get a fresh new start by ourselves with no one else around. And she's very, very sexual. And I have no physical problem whatsoever at all. It's just sometimes I don't want to do it.
Okay, so
but I do want to do it, if that makes sense.
Well, you
I don't want to do it, but I want to.
No, actually, the way to say it would be you want to do it.
I do want to do it, but right. I don't do it. I mean,
well, you want to do it, and the reason you don't do it is because you don't want to do it. So we want to fix your want to, so you want to do it. Is that confusing enough?
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
All right, let me ask you the very, very, very first question you ask someone, kind of diagnostically. After you've returned, you know, you said there's nothing physical wrong, nothing's wrong with the plumbing and all that good stuff, is how is your emotionally intimate life with her?
It's very, very great. That was one of the whole reasons that we moved, so that we can get it better, because her husband died and mine was still around my ex. And that's a story that's off in its own. So we wanted to move away from everything and everybody, so her and I can get more physically and mentally stable in our relationship.
Okay.
And I'm gonna break it down.
I'm gonna break it down to three questions then. Okay, Rick.
Okay.
A, can we both be vulnerable and feel needy feelings? Yes or no?
Say that one more time.
I said, A, can we both be vulnerable and feel needy feelings for each other?
Oh, yes, yes.
B, can we tell the truth and say hard things and be direct with each other and nobody flips out?
Yeah, we can be direct, and yeah, we do flip out.
Well, we might need to stop with B then. Sometimes what we call a power complex in a relationship can be when somebody is sort of in charge of the truth and somebody can't hear truth, and so everybody shuts down, and that can inhibit sexual desire, Rick.
No, that's what the problem is. Both of us can be very truthful, and both of us can sit and listen to the other one's reasoning and answers to each one of us. See, that's what the whole problem is I can't understand how we can be like so tightly knit together, so open and honest, and yes, we do have the blow-ups and everything else, but I mean, it's just for some reason, the only thing that I have come to in my own head and my own conclusion is that in my past years with the old one, I would go forever and a day without having relationships, and where in my new one, she's just right there. She's open. She likes it. She wants it. And I don't think I'm used to this, if that makes sense.
So I'm going to have you pretend I'm your wife, Rick, and I'm going to have you get truthful and honest with me. Just like John invited you to do here. And so if I'm coming to you and I'm saying, Rick, what is it about you that doesn't want to have sex with me?
And this is the exact question that she has asked me, and I told her I have no idea. I tell her because, like I said, when we first got in a relationship, it was fantastic. We had nothing. We couldn't wait to be together. We wanted to be together. We stayed on the phone all
right,
the time. We still
right.
talked on the phone for hours on a day. It's just, I don't know. I honestly can't tell or say why it is. I don't know why I want.
Well, I have one question to ask, and I just want to share something else with you. So I know John had asked a few questions, and this might be a little bit more vulnerable for you to share with us, but in the world of trauma that I work in, I have sat with men that have had some sexual experience that they feel a lot of shame about in the past, growing up in their early childhood. Let me give you a situation or an example. This isn't, I'm just kind of making one up here, but it might look like young boys getting together and, you know, having a sexual experience in a closet or a tent or, you know, somewhere where they feel a lot of shame about that. If you think back to your past, is there any at all situation like that that happened with either some young boys or, you know, a man or girls or women?
Yeah, kind of, you might say. I was probably 12, 13, and I probably about 3 months was taking care of business with a 25-year-old.
Oh, gosh. So an older woman?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's a form of abuse.
I like it. I'm not going to lie.
Rick, I'm being... listen to me again. Sherry just brought up something. Listen to me. You made a joke. Listen. Don't talk for a second. You made a joke because you were anxious with what Sherry said. But I am deadly serious. That was sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand
that.
Okay,
and
yes,
so and that can have. And in fact, I want you to stay on the line because there may be somebody else this woman's abusing later. We might have to do a report. So this is a big deal. And Sherry's making a point about how even though I'm sure it was like the teenage fun thing, that you were being taken advantage of. So Sherry's pointing out something about how that can inhibit sexual desire later. Sherry?
Yeah. Because what happens, Rick, is in a situation where you have an older woman that is sexually abusing you, there is some excitement, but at the same time, a man can feel overpowered. A man can feel overshadowed. A man can have some real fear about being vulnerable, about letting go. Mm-hmm. About, it's kind of like it turns our sexual world upside down, topsy-turvy.
Well, also, Sherry, add to that the fact that that he was participating in was out-of-bounds sex, and when he and his now wife got together, before they were married, they were having out-of-bounds sex, and it was okay.
Wow, then. Steve.
There wasn't a feeling of anything other than this is great, because I think it's what he was used to, out of bounds sex. Now you get married, it's the way it's supposed to be. It's going to lose some of the adrenaline and the rush. It's not what he's used to. That's my thing.
I totally agree with all this. And
you know, if I have to say with you guys, I would have to agree too. Because all the way up until I did meet my wife, I had fantastic sex. Then when I met my wife, at first, we had fantastic sex. Then throughout the years, it started dying down, practically nothing.
Rick, before we go to a break, I want to tell you this. The answer is going to be a pain that heals most other pains. I'm going to talk to you about the grief process and how that will help this on the other side.
We'll be back after this.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference in Washington, D.C. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Washington, D.C., May 18th and 19th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror.
matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
Now we're back talking to Rick, and we're just talking about, and he's been so open, so vulnerable with us, talking about this experience with someone twice his age when he was 11 or 12. Sherry, you want to continue here with Rick?
Well, Rick, I am so proud of you because I feel like this moment today, at this moment, was the first day that you were able to speak the truth of the abuse and what's been hiding in the dark that has caused sexual issues in both marriages.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you.
One quick thing is this is not the first time. I've told a lot of people like that. In fact, I bragged about it when I was a kid. I mean, I talked about how the experience taught me to be able to satisfy women. In fact, my current wife, she even knows about it.
Right, but you know what, I don't know that you've done this yet, is when John brought up the idea of it being abuse, sexual abuse. When you begin looking at it from that perspective, which is what it was, and how that has disrupted your ability to be intimate, to be fully vulnerable, to let go in the sexual act, to long for it, it has harmed you. It harmed you. And so going in to do that deep work with someone who's really trained in understanding sexual abuse and how to help you heal as a victim of that can help you move. I know, John, you were talking about grief and want to hear a little bit more, but you really, deep wounds, my friend, need deep healing. And you need some deep healing. Talking about it is not enough.
Yeah. Well, John, help us here, or help Rick here with what you were, the track you were going to go on there with the grief.
Yeah, Rick, in your own head, do you see anything negative that happened to you from being with this woman? Because it sounds like you're saying, well, I learned techniques and it was cool and I was young. And I'm going, okay, I get it. But does Rick really get what the damage is? Do you see any problems that resulted from this relationship with this woman? Or do you just think it was a great teenage experience?
Both.
All right, I know the great part you're talking about. Tell us one bad fruit of being with this woman.
One bad fruit?
One bad result, one bad effect, one bad symptom, one bad thing in your life, one bad something, some kind of damage. Are you aware of any kind of damage in your way you will go through life, in relationships, in the way you think about yourself, with other people, with God, and your work? Are you aware of any bad fruit from this long-term abusive relationship, or no? If you're not, if you just go, no, I didn't damage me at all, I don't know what you guys are talking about, that's fine.
The only thing that I think that I might be able to come up with is that sometimes I would just like to want to hit it and move on, if that makes any kind of sense. You know, just show up with someone and take care of business and move down the road, because a lot of times that's how it was.
Yeah.
The other one.
Okay, so it was very quick, not connecting.
Okay. This is, now I'm going to tell you what the damage is. One piece of this, I think there were many ways that you were damaged that you're not even aware of yet, Rick, but that your life has suffered. I think your life has suffered because of this. The one that comes up in the research a lot is the inability to be emotionally intimate as well as sexual with your spouse. Now, let's play the tape forward from this relationship with this lady to your first marriage of 20-some years, where you would go through long periods of time with no sex. If we had time on the show, I am almost positive that we could show a correlation between this damaged Rick that married this other damaged woman and had a horrible marriage that resulted in divorce. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, something about your inability to have deep emotional connection and sex, instead to have hit it quick and move on, affected how that marriage happened. Are you willing to say that?
Yeah, I could probably say that.
That's what we're talking about. I don't think you're in touch with the damage you've experienced. And I'm like Sherry. I think that if you'll get in touch with that, I think what will happen is, like in a therapy office, you'll begin grieving and going, you know, I lost my innocence. I lost my childhood. I was 13 years old. I could not put my heart in with my body because my heart and my body were different because I became a hit it and move on guy. I couldn't sustain deep relationships. I married a nightmare relationship. I think you'll start feeling sad because of all the losses that occurred from the decisions you made from this bad relationship with this woman. And I think that grief will help you to get it out, feel better, and become more whole. And I think you'll start having sex with your current wife.
I just want to throw in a little summation here because we're just about out of time. But this is the most profound thing that I have come up with about sex in my 50-some-odd years. Any sex outside of marriage hurts sex inside of marriage.
Hmm.
That's it.
That's really good.
I mean, that's it. And, you know, Hugh Hefner, when he started getting people interested in soft pornography, he didn't tell them this hurts a man's ability to relate to a real live woman that he's married to. But it does. And so does having sex with somebody twice your age at age 12. And so does having sex outside of marriage before you get married.
Well, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Steve. You're exactly right. And Paul says, you know, to have your vessel in holiness and don't defraud God. There's all sorts of things in 1 Thessalonians 4 that talk about the damage you guys are mentioning.
I mean, you get back to it and you just have to say God is so smart when it comes to this issue of sexuality as well as everything else. There's a reason that he confines it to marriage, because that's where it works best. And when you don't confine it to marriage, it works worse.
Right. So, Rick, we're going to leave you on the line. We want you to go see a good counselor in the El Paso area, and we're going to send you a copy of my book, How People Grow. And it has in there a whole chapter about how grief is the pain that causes most other pain to go away. I want you to become a friend with grief. We have a Savior who is well acquainted with grief. And we need to follow that Savior. And you're going to find stuff in there that Sherry unearths. All right, buddy?
All right. Glad you called. And really think that there's a lot in that phone call for a lot of other folks. I've got a sheet here. It's a tip sheet. It's called 10 Myths That Can Block Permanent Weight Loss. One of those myths is that if I starve or skip meals, I'm going to lose more weight. There are 9 others. Like another one is healthy eating and weight management require willpower. Now, there are just all sorts of good stuff in here. If you want this, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Any kind of question that you have about your life or how to get things together, make a difference, make a change, where is a counselor in your area, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we will tell the people they're committed. They're dying to help you find some kind of resource that can make your life better. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's a CD, one of our New Life Perspectives, a counselor, a workshop. Call us. Let us get involved. Don't forget that if you want to try these 30 days of devotionals that bring you, your spouse, back into the Word together and with each other and in prayer, it can change your life. Center for Bible Engagement says interact with the Bible 4 days a week. It changes your choices. Changes your character.
Why did they drop down to 4? What's the thing about read your Bible daily?
Well, they just did the research, and they said 3 days isn't enough. It takes 4 days a week.
It takes 7.
John Townsend's new study just out saying it's every day or nothing.
Daily I'll interact with my God and my Bible.
We're changing the entire program based on John and his assessment.
I'm standing on 7.
Scripture. All right.
Anyway, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine.
Once every 24
anyway,
hours.
Anyway, however many days you're doing it, just do it one more day. How about that? Let's just go one more day and everybody will be happy. Hey, if you need help, we've got people that can help you. Can you support us? We'll send you this wonderful book, 100 Days of Serenity. It'll help you read the Bible every day, just like John Townsend's telling you to do. We love you. We care about you. We're going to see you here tomorrow on New Life Live. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.